Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Red Friday. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a little stadium stuff, Rob. If you want to cut a best of that, we'll play a little stadium stuff in this 5 o'clock hour. We'll give you a little Raider stuff in the 5 o'clock hour. Mizzou plays their first road game of the season coming up. Who's KU got this weekend?
Bye week,
all right.
So does K-State.
Okay, so Mizzou is the only college football team that we got in town. I'm so focused on my team and what they need to do. I ain't worrying about your team and what they got to do. They ain't playing for nothing. My team's playing for the playoff. Your team is playing for the, I guess, bragging rights bowl coming up next week in Lawrence, Kansas. So let's start with this, at least when it comes to it, Rob, and we'll shout out Baker University. The Raiders and Chiefs rivalry, it just doesn't really do it for me anymore. It doesn't really do it for me in this sense. Now, I understand that I do not cheer for the Chiefs in the ways that you guys do, but I think you guys on the text line, being around the city, it normally gives me a good feeling of what games have buzz. When the Eagles were in town, the game had buzz. It had real juice. It is a Super Bowl rematch. Sunday Night Football. You're playing the Detroit Lions, possibly the best team in the NFC. The Chiefs play in big football games on a day-in, day-out basis. Think of the month of November that they have. On the road against Buffalo, big game. On the road against Denver, big game. Home against Indianapolis. We didn't think that it was going to be that important. It might be the most important game in the AFC this year. Thanksgiving, the Chiefs play a home game on Christmas. Like, I understand how in 1994, how the Chiefs had one marquee game. Maybe you would get a Monday Night Football. There was no Thursday Night Football, no Sunday Night Football. Like, you just were hoping you could get a Monday Night Football game, and you're hoping that was against the Raiders. But the Chiefs are just so evolved past that at this point that hearing the same stories from Neil Smith and Bill Moss and Danny Hughes and Mitch Holtz, hearing the same stories about 1997, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. This is the analogy I made, and I'll make it for you in the 5 o'clock hour. In theory, I understand why Kansas didn't want to play Missouri in basketball. In theory, I get it. Now, from a history, tradition, financial standpoint, it didn't make sense to me, but just based on this principle, beating Missouri doesn't really do a whole lot for Kansas. They are one of the five best programs in college basketball. It is expected that you are going to beat Missouri. You beat Missouri in basketball 65-70% of the time. You are a far superior program to them. It doesn't raise your national cachet. It doesn't help you to beat Missouri. Losing to them, it's a negative. Their fans storm the court when they beat you. They chant blank KU in between made baskets. I could see how it is all the risk and none of the reward for beating Missouri. I really understand it. That's how this rivalry has turned out. The Chiefs just don't really gain anything by beating the Raiders. It's not a win that you feel proud of in the same way that you did in 1995. It's not one of those marquee banner wins. No one in the league celebrates you for it because they know that you're going to play in much more important games. And oh yeah, it is sandwiched in between Sunday night football and Monday night football. You got a noon game at home against the Raiders. The Raiders are not a good football team. Rob, when did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school in 2009.
You graduated high school in 2009. So since you have graduated high school, since you have been an adult, think about all the things that have happened in your life. The Raiders have not won a playoff game since you graduated high school. The Raiders only have two seasons in which they have won nine or more games, and they look like they are headed towards the exact same fate. Professional rivalries are based in something different than in college sports. Not everybody's college team is going to win the national championship. Not everybody's college team is going to go to the college football playoff or the Final Four. Trust me, I know. But the one thing you do carry in college football is bragging rights over your opposition. KU fans, no one cares that you won the Orange Bowl in 2007. You know who cares about it? You and Missouri. That's who cares about it. That's who cares. And it's big. You did something cool that you can look at your rival and say, we did something that you didn't accomplish. That's what makes college sports so cool. That when your team wins, you take the field goal post down and you throw it in the lake. Or if you're an Auburn fan, you throw toilet paper on the trees. That's the cool stuff about college sports. That's not how we celebrate professional sports. Pro sport rivalries are based on competition, competitiveness, and two teams that are fighting for the exact same thing. The reason why the Chiefs and Bills rivalry has become the marquee rivalry in the sport and why it's taken the place of Patriots and Colts or Patriots and Broncos or Niners and Cowboys is because both teams are playing for something. Not just bragging rights at the office. No, I mean something legitimate. Who can be the one seed? Who can host the AFC Championship game? Who can win MVP? Who can win the Super Bowl? Not a 1995 trip down memory lane nostalgia bowl that the Raiders want to play every single time. Patrick Mahomes has played the Raiders 14 times in his career. They have 12 wins. I'm serious. Text line 913-586-7965. What are some memories you have from Chiefs and Raiders games while Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback? Because I'm guessing, aside from the little ring around the rosy play that they did, there ain't really many memories from the wins. You remember the losses very vividly. Because that's all that matters with the Raiders are the losses. Beating the Raiders doesn't, what purpose does it serve? It's another game on the schedule. The Chiefs have five more important home games this season than they do against the one against the Raiders. They play the Eagles already at home. They play Baltimore already at home. They play the Lions at home. They play Indianapolis. They play the Broncos on Christmas Day. The Chargers game has more meaning than the Raiders game. It's just, I personally am over it. I mean, I can get back into it for sure. It's just, it's got to give me something new. It's something current. The Raiders and the Chiefs rivalry is that high school friend that you have that is still telling you how they scored 20 points against Lee Summit West. Bro, we're grown. How's your job going? How's your kids? Why are you telling me this same story about how you scored 20 points against Michael Dixon when you were in high school? Bro, it's over. Let's move on with our life. That's what this rivalry has become to me. 913-586-7965. I don't have it anymore. When it comes to this game, to me with the Raiders, it's very simple with the Raiders. I thought the Raiders could be good. I really did. I thought they had a chance of being good. None of the things that I thought were going to work out for them has worked out. Geno Smith has 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. If that's the case, your team's not going to be good. So he has more interceptions than touchdowns. Ashton Jeanty, I'm not saying he was a bad pick by any means. He just hasn't been great. He's averaging exactly 4 yards a carry and has 3 touchdowns. He's been fine. He's been a fine back. That's who he's been. He's been Clyde Edwards-Helaire with a cool stance is who he's been so far in his career. He's just been fine. And Brock Bowers, who I think you could have argued he was the best tight end in the league. He certainly was in the short list of conversation. He's only played in 4 games this season. He's doubtful for this game, and he has 200 yards receiving. so far this season. So if you had told me at the beginning of the season that Geno Smith was going to be Ashton Jeanty was going to average exactly 4 yards a carry in the middle of October, and Brock Bowers was going to miss multiple games, I would have told you the Raiders would be bad. The Raiders are bad. They're 2-4. They're one of the 8 teams in the league right now that I don't think have a chance of making the playoffs. There's a lot of teams that do have a chance. The Raiders might as well start getting ready for the draft. This is a team that needs to figure out who their quarterback's going to be next season, because I'm not sure, at least based on how things are right now, I'm not sure if it can be Geno Smith. They need another makeover for them as an organization. So that is the unofficial hit one. Let's get to the official hit one.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
As always, Karen, the hits are brought to you by Baker University. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th, more than 30,000 visitors will gather under Baldwin City's brilliant maple trees for Maple Leaf Festival. Enjoy family fun, food, music, and art as we celebrate 65 years of Kansas tradition. Details at bakeru.edu/MapleLeaf.
I want to read this really quick. Someone says, but CDOT, people of a certain age will always hate the Raiders. It's in our blood. Certainly. I get that. If you're an older fan, I don't mean older like, you know, you're old, but I mean, like Rob and I, you guys, like if you're in your mid-30s, 40s, yeah, I get why you hate the Raiders. How do you explain that to a 14-year-old right now? How do you explain the importance of this rivalry, and what is the importance of this rivalry based on? Because I don't think it's really based on anything. I think it's based on nostalgia. Have they played for anything? Have they played for a AFC West championship? Have they played for winner take all? The Raiders, they haven't won a playoff game since George W. Bush. I mean, it's so bad for the Raiders. They built a brand new stadium. You have played in a playoff game before they did. You know how bad that is? They were in a whole nother state. They moved, built a whole new stadium, hosted a Super Bowl. The Chiefs played in it and won it, and the Raiders still haven't come close to playing a playoff game in there. Yeah, what are we doing here? I get it. It used to be a very important rivalry back in the day. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was very, very important back in the day. I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. It's over. I need them to do something new. I need them to do something current. I need them to do something fresh.
Let me ask you this. And we did this exercise earlier in the show, and you can catch on the podcast page. We went through some big rivalries in sports and asked if they're better back in the day or now. Generally speaking, the answer for all those rivalries, or at least the pro ones, was back in the day. I believe you had Ohio State, Michigan is still good now and those things. But generally speaking, when we went through this exercise, Lakers and Celtics is better back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Red Sox and Yankees, all these rivalries are better back in the day. Do we have a problem in sports and pro sports that we're losing these recipes, so to speak? Because the text line, I understand why people are saying, well, I hate the Raiders. I want my kids to hate the Raiders. The Raiders will be our rival forever. I get when the text line says that, but if you're a 24-year-old who's going to Chiefs games, like that guy who always has the backwards visor they put on TV every week, that guy doesn't hate the Raiders. That guy's going to have kids one day. Their kids are not going to hate the Raiders. Are we losing those staples of our childhood in pro sports because it is so based on success and we've lost a little bit of that traditional rivalry feel? Because the Red Sox and Yankees played a postseason series and no one cared. Raiders and Chiefs play this weekend, and generally speaking, no one cares.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say I think it's a little bit twofold. I guess more specifically to the Raiders, like the Raiders don't have a fan base anymore. The Raiders used to have a fan base. They were called the Black Hole. Is there any other team that if you sit in this section, you remember the picture? I think it was Jamal Charles or Brandon Flowers. I'm trying to remember. I know it was one of those two.
Where it was Brandon Flowers.
They score a touchdown and you see all of those fans and the dislike that they had for that player. The Raiders used to have an identity. They were a part of a community. The Raiders traded that in and sold out to become one of the NFL's tourist attractions. If you are a visiting fan, that is one of the easiest away games to go to. Going to Vegas is easy. Every airport flies there. You can get a direct flight from most places. You can stay at a varying degrees of hotels. If you want to go super cheap or super high end, you can find somewhere to stay. I would say food-wise, the exact same. If you want to do Vegas for cheap, it ain't hard to do Vegas for cheap if you really want to do it. Hey, have a good time. Go to a club, gamble a little bit, watch my team come in here, beat up on their team, and then move on. So I think that's some of it, at least when it comes to the Raiders. I would also say I think some of it is, and this is just, I think, a product of sports, they don't fight as much anymore. Like I understand why we've evolved past it. I get it. But when you think about most of these rivalries, they used to fight, you know, they used to fight. We got video of Reggie Miller and Michael Jordan getting into a fight. We got video of Larry Bird throwing hands. We got video of most of your favorite athletes from back in the day. We got video of them getting into a skirmish before. It's just not really how sports is anymore. I don't know if it's the money, changing teams. These guys just know each other better. Like, we see this all the time. In the offseason, all of these guys work out together. All of these guys have the same trainer. All of these guys are hanging out with each other. So when you spend so much time in your free time around each other, then when it comes time to actually compete against each other, I can see why it doesn't potentially get to fisticuffs and blows and the back and forth and all of those things. So I think that's a major reason of why. The Yankees and Red Sox, when we were growing up, they had a fight. Their coach got in the middle of it, got thrown down to the ground by their Hall of Fame pitcher. Yeah, I would say once you remove that element of it, the rivalry and the super intensity of it, it's always going to diminish when that's the case.
I also think, and the text line makes a great point here, I feel like not only do they not have a fan base anymore, for a long time, Kansas City and kind of the NFL at large had a villain in the Raiders. They had Al Davis. Al Davis was brazen. He was going to have players that broke the rules. He didn't care about the rules. He was a villainous figure for the NFL, and especially in Kansas City, because you know the history of the AFL. He and Lamar Hunt weren't best of buddies. They had a different vision for it. Al Davis was a villain. Does anyone hate Mark Davis? Other than making fun of his goofy haircut, does anyone have any feelings toward him? And I think the fact that we used to hate the owner and it permeated to the team has changed. Now we don't care about the owner and it permeates the team. We don't care about any of the players on the team. Maybe you just like Max Crosby. Okay, cool. Mahomes said this week in a press conference he respects him, so I get maybe the hate, but I also don't get the hate. Like, I wonder how much this is. We lost Al Davis and we lost the aura of hating the Raiders.
What's hit number two?
Number three.
Number three, my bad.
Carrington, speaking of the Las Vegas Raiders, you were a believer preseason. I was also bullish, I'll admit it, but not as bullish as you. Why do you think the Raiders have fallen so short of what your expectation was? And it really does boil down to three different entities: Carroll, Geno, Genty.
I think their offensive line's bad. I think their offensive line is really, really bad. I think that's the case. I think it's awful. And I think that has really created any problem that they have had for the rest of their team. I think that's created almost every other problem that they've had. I will say this, at least when it comes to the Raiders. I am not disrespecting and overlooking the Raiders as a entity because of how weird the NFL is. I just think this is just kind of one of those weird seasons where I would say every Sunday we are going to have a I can't believe that just happened. I think every Sunday when you and I come back on Monday, Rob, we are going to be able to point to a game, a situation, a thing that, oh, well, I'm stunned. I can't believe this happened. Now, I don't think the Raiders are winning this game. I think the Raiders are going to pick in the top five in the NFL draft. I don't think they're a very good football team. But I don't think the Bengals are very good. I just saw them win on Thursday Night Football. I don't think the Browns are very good. I saw them beat the Green Bay Packers a couple of weeks ago. Like, I just think this is just one of those very random, very weird years in the National Football League. I think it's that kind of season in the National Football League. Rob, let's talk a little bit about Rashee Rice and sort of what the expectations are for this game. I truly don't care how he plays in this game. Rashee Rice might have three catches for 35 yards in this game. That'd be great. Rashee Rice could have seven catches for 100 yards in this game. I think it's about getting him back on the field, seeing where his conditioning is, seeing him get hit. seeing him get back up from the hit, seeing how he adjusts to just their offense is different than the last time that he played. Xavier Worthy has now played in, we're talking about 17, 18 more football games since the last time that these guys operated on the field at the same time. He's never been on the field at the same time with Hollywood Brown. He's never been on the field at the same time as Tyquan Thornton. So their offense is just different than the last time he was there. How they figure out his role, how they adjust his role, how they make things work for them is what I care about way more than this. They don't need Rashee Rice for this game. I don't think they need Rashee Rice for the game against the Commanders, not with the way their offense has been playing. But as they transition to the next month of the season and we get closer to November and their schedule is as tough as any teams in the National Football League, that's when you want to feel like you got 2 weeks of ramp-up period for your offense and Rashee Rice, and you go on the road against Buffalo, which is going to be a difficult place to play and win, and the Chiefs certainly know that. How does he look? How does he play? How does he perform? We can talk about game shape all you want. And I know he's posting these workout videos, and I'm not saying he hasn't been doing the work, but practicing football and playing football are two drastically different things. What does he look like playing football? It's not just coming back from the suspension. It's also coming back from a significant knee injury last season as well.
I think in a weird way, the fact that his suspension ends on Raider week is a good thing for the Chiefs because, and man, you see the Raiders different. I think they are the absolute dregs of the NFL. They aren't Jets bad because good Lord, but they are closer to the Jets than they are the Panthers. I think they're bad. I think if they played any team other than the Titans last week, they would have lost. The Titans were begging to fire their coach, and they got the opportunity because the Raiders beat them. If they had played any other team in the National Football League, I think this team is 1-5 heading into this matchup, but they're 2-4 propped up by the Titans. I think they are really bad. So I think it's a good thing that Rashee Rice is coming back this week because I think it's a good chance to work out the kinks in a live environment. Because it's not just Rashee Rice with his health and all those things you mentioned. There's a trickle-down effect. How does Rashee Rice doing this help Xavier Worthy or hurt Xavier Worthy? How do they, you know, handle personnel groupings? Hey, you have Thornton, you have Worthy, you have all these things. And Andy Reid is maybe the best in the NFL at this. And we've heard Patrick Mahomes, EGE, everyone's going to eat, everyone's going to do these things. It's one thing to say, it's something to do it. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. And the Raiders are the perfect team to have a learning curve against because I feel like unless you are throwing the ball to the wrong team or you're just kneeling for four quarters, you're going to beat that team. So I agree with you. I'm curious what Rice looks like coming back and the cumulative effect it has on the offense. I think it's a good week to have those, you know, bumps, hiccups, growing pains because I just feel like the Raiders don't have enough to compete with the Chiefs unless the Chiefs give the game away.
Yeah, I think anytime you throw something new into the mix, it's just going to be an adjustment for everybody. I think it's going to be adjustment for Rashee Rice, an adjustment for the offense. I mean, I think the offense is certainly going to be able to handle it. I'm just more excited about the Chiefs just have more things than they've had in a while. Like, I don't know on this team what you can potentially take away. Like, even if you take away the run game, which I don't think is super hard against this team, but just even in the passing game, is the goal to take away Travis Kelce now? Okay, you take away Travis Kelce. Let's say Kelce has 27 yards in this game. Well, all right, well, Rice can go for 100 yards in this game. Worthy can go for 100 yards in this game. We've seen Tyquan Thornton have a good day. We've seen Juju have a good day. Hollywood just had two touchdown catches last week. Like, there's just more things to be able to take away. The last time that Rice was one of those players, the Chiefs had three offensive weapons. It was him, Travis Kelce, and Isaiah Pacheco, and they used that formula all the way en route to winning a championship. What's the formula on defense right now to beat Kansas City? I don't know if you can take everything away. So more than anything, I feel like Rashee Rice returning gives you options. It gives you a bunch of options that now we see the full depth. We've been talking about this for over a year now about this offense and getting everybody back. What is their offense going to look like when you got this guy and this guy and this guy? We don't have to wait too much longer. Coming up in 2 days, you are going to be able to see the full complement of weapons of what Kansas City has built over the last couple of years, whether it was through the NFL draft or through free agency. Coming up on the other side, we will head to Las Vegas to play the best of Scott Goldbranson to get you ready for Chiefs and Raiders. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
All right, so we got two things to get into in this segment. Let's start with Chiefs and Raiders. Earlier today on the show, we were joined by Scott Goldbranson. And I'm taking the Raiders seriously in this game for this reason. It's just been weird this year. And every week something happens that surprises us. So, I mean, I'm not going to be absolutely floored if the Raiders win this game. It's the National Football League in 2025. Weird things happen. Here's what Scott Goldbranson had to say.
You do, especially, I mean, look, like you said, the Chiefs, the better team right now, ascending their performance, getting Rashee Rice back this weekend. It points to all those directions. But you're right, the NFL is crazy. And if the Geno Smith the Raiders thought they were signing in the offseason shows up, and that offense under Chip Kelly, which hasn't been able to score more than 20 points all season, actually gets it in gear, then perhaps we'll have a game that'll be a lot more entertaining than just another blowout at Arrowhead, where I think the Raiders are now, 2-18 over the last 20 games? Or two, I should say the teams are record-wise are at that clip. So I think that, yeah, I think that anything could happen here. But clearly, a lot of things are going to have to go the Raiders' way, and a lot of things for the Chiefs are going to have to go south, I think, for it to be a close game that the Raiders might sneak away with a win.
So let's just start with, I guess, the power structure when it comes to this team. Because a reason that so many people were optimistic about the Raiders, and I'll put myself in that category, is I thought they had weapons. I really liked the signing of Geno Smith. Ashton Jeanty, a legit weapon. Brock Bowers was going to develop into being the best tight end in the National Football League. That's really not how this season has kind of played itself out. Let's start with the quarterback. Geno has been bad so far this year. What's gone wrong for him?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. One is he's got an offensive line that has been shaking around, and we'll get back to that in a second. But what Geno Smith, what you see him doing is you see him forcing balls into coverage. You see him throwing balls and forcing and really trying to pressure himself into making passes, but at the same time missing open receivers. He's not even seeing them down the field when he makes his read. So something's not right there for whatever reason. I don't know if it's pressure he's putting on himself, but he hasn't been the high completion percentage guy outside of week one when they beat the Patriots on the road. That looked like the Geno everybody thought they were signed up for. Now he just looks like he's struggling, not able to see the field as well as he could. He's got a great connection with Trey Tucker, the slot receiver, who's done a great job. And you mentioned Jensen's doing well, even though he's getting contact behind the line of scrimmage almost every time he carries the ball. So with Geno Smith, it's just the turnovers at the clip he's at right now, at 10 turnovers, he's on a pace to turn the ball over nearly 40 times via interception. That obviously can't continue. But Pete Carroll shows no inclination to switch out Geno Smith. They are loyal to each other. And until Geno Smith figures it out or doesn't, I think you're going to see a lot of the same, but it's certainly not going to be easier in Kansas City this week.
Right now, we're talking to Scott Goldbranson, who covers the Raiders with Silver and Black, getting you ready for Chiefs and Raiders at noon at Arrowhead. I'm looking at this Raiders defense. Do you think they're capable of slowing down Kansas City's offense? It feels like the old Chiefs offense is back. Maybe not the one we saw in 2018, but certainly the one that was around in 2022 when Mahomes won MVP. He's getting Rashee Rice back. He got Xavier Worthy back a couple of weeks ago. This team is running the football effectively. Their offensive line feels like it's solidified. This is a Chiefs offense that can really strike from all parts of the field. Do you feel like the Raiders can match up with that?
I think it's going to be a real tough day for them. Could they break through on some things? Yes. I mean, obviously, Max Crosby is who he is. But when you're being double-teamed every down, it's really difficult to get free. They haven't really shown anything up front against better teams to where it makes you think, well, they're going to be able to break through and pressure Mahomes more to make him unsettled so that he can't distribute the ball so well as he's done. And then the defensive backfield, Carrington, if you're a Raiders fan, this could be a nightmare game because – they just don't have the horses back there right now. They have Caillou Blue-Kelly, a young guy who's been one of the most targeted and yielded the most yards of any cornerback in the NFL. He's a good player. He needs to develop. But because they have no depth, they are really reliant on him and a rookie sitting behind him, Darian Porter, which I think the Chiefs will see a lot more of. But with Rice back, with the way Worthy's going, the way that Patrick Mahomes is distributing the ball, it's going to be really tough for this defense to match. The matchup is just not good right now with what they have on the field.
This is where I am, Scott, when talking about this rivalry. I certainly respect the history, the long-standing history between these teams, between these two organizations. But at this point, at least for the Chiefs, beating the Raiders is not a big deal. Losing to the Raiders is a big deal. You mentioned the two losses that Mahomes has. We remember them very vividly. One of those times, the Raiders drove their bus around the stadium. The other one was on Christmas Day. But when you think about Chiefs wins over the last few years or so, there's not many that really stand out.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. You know, you were on my show earlier in the week, Carrington, and a lot of Raider fans were not happy with what you said. But my challenge to them was, what did Carrington say that was incorrect? And the truth is nothing. You're right. When you're talking 2-18, when you're talking the fact that, yes, the old rivalry, the history, you're right. You respect it. It was great at one time. This is really heated. But now it's sort of like, well, when one team is always good and the other team is always not good, it gets really difficult to get up for it. Now, Raider fans are obviously up for the game much more than I think Chiefs fans are, to the point you made, which is it's not a big win. You expect the Chiefs to win this game. You expect the Raiders to lose it. So, of course, for one side, it's going to be, quote-unquote, a rivalry. For the other one, not so much. Remember, I grew up a Padres fan where I always thought the Dodgers were our rivals, and guess what? The Dodgers couldn't care less about the Padres until recent years, so I fully get it.
That was our guy Scott Goldbranson joining us on the show. He covers the Las Vegas Raiders. We also took a trip to Fox 4 with John Ketz. He has been covering the stadium issue. There was a letter that was written by the mayor of North Kansas City. John Ketz joined us on the show to talk about how viable the North Kansas City option is for the future of the Royals.
To me, I feel like if there is one of the teams that is more likely to leave the city limits, I think it's the Royals more so than the Chiefs. You know, somebody can disagree with me on that. But I also still feel like Kansas is in play for the Royals. I feel like what me and John Holt reported back in August, that there is a deal in the works for the Royals affiliate to take over 119th and Null. I think that's real. While that property is not in the hands of the affiliate, technically, I still think there is some sort of agreement that is in the works between Occidental Management, Wichita, and the Royals affiliate that would allow them to take over ownership. Now, does that mean a stadium is going to go there? Not necessarily, but the Royals are still keeping their options open, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals left the city limits of Kansas City, Missouri.
So I guess let's just start with this. You tell me if you think I'm right or wrong just based on what you just said. I think we are down to three locations for the Royals. I think it's either the North Kansas City Clay County, I think it's Washington Square Park, and I think it's 119th and all. Do you agree with that, or do you think there's another part of the city and the metro that the Royals could possibly land?
No, I think that's right. You know, I tried there was a long, in-depth ESPN article about the drama surrounding the Royals stadium. That article came out like a month ago now, but I would agree that's what ESPN reported, and I feel the same way in talking to some of the people that I have over the last 3 years now.
Right now, we're talking to Jonathan Katz, getting the latest when it comes to the Royals and what could possibly happen with the future of the Truman Sports Complex. So let's talk about the 119th and Nall site. I am a little bit surprised by this because I hear a lot of people that think that the Royals are moving to Kansas. You mentioned the possibility that the Royals could be moving to Kansas. I feel like everything is there, that if that's the decision that they wanted to make, they would have made it a long time ago. They already purchased the land. The deal from Kansas is not changing in any way. If that's the deal that you think is best and you feel comfortable with it, why do you think the Royals have been hesitant to lock in 119th and all?
That's a really good question. I wonder if it has to do with Occidental Management being able to make a payment that they had to back in August. So technically the Royals affiliate hasn't taken over ownership yet, but that doesn't mean the Royals affiliate couldn't take ownership in the future. Keep in mind, I'm throwing this out there without having this locked down, but there are mayoral and city council elections in November in the city of Overland Park. If you are the Royals and you are the city of Overland Park, why would you want an announcement made before November 4th, which is, I believe, that Tuesday that those elections are on? Kurt Skoog has, I don't think, really wanted to talk about this conversation because he is likely going to beat his challenger, Ferris Farisotti, fairly easily. But we already know that Ferris Farisotti is against the stadium, and I think Kurt Skoog is much more open to this idea than Ferris Farisotti. So I am putting that out there with the idea that Kurt Skoog, if he has something in the works that people in his city don't know about, he's not going to want that made public before his election on Tuesday, November 4th, I believe.
Ketz, I get the feeling, and I'm not a Kansas person by any means, so maybe this is my Missouri bias that is shining through. I don't get the sense that people are really thrilled about the 119th and all location. I think people want it to be in Kansas for obvious reasons. You live over there, state pride, all of those things. But I don't really hear too many people that are really fired up about that being the location for the future Royal Stadium.
I think you're right, but I think the biggest advantage for the Royals at a ballpark at 119th and Nall is that you don't have to go to a vote of the people. Now, there will have to be some city council approvals prior to, you know, that deal being finalized. But that is the one advantage that I think has kind of gotten lost with this North Kansas City announcement yesterday. So the other thing that I guess is important to note, like, if the Royals are going to go into Clay County, they would have to win a vote of the people in the probably April election in Clay County. So Clay County would own the ballpark. North Kansas City would be a piece of it, but that election would have to happen in Clay County, just like it had to happen in Jackson County back in April of 2024.
Ketz, could you see a scenario in which Clay County and Jackson County work together to keep the stadium in Missouri?
Kind of, but that would be more of a state of Missouri issue. You know, Governor Kehoe called that special session this past summer, and the site was, as he called it, agnostic when it came to the stadiums for both the Chiefs and the Royals. We have never talked about Arrowhead Stadium being up in Clay County. We've talked about a Chiefs practice facility. potentially being up there. But Governor Kehoe wants to keep both teams in Missouri, their stadiums. So the Chiefs stadium, the governor's idea is that there's a renovation at Arrowhead. If the Chiefs stay in Missouri, it's a renovation to Arrowhead. If we're talking about the Royals, it's probably either a ballpark at Washington Square Park or it's a ballpark in Clay County, Missouri, in the city of North Kansas City.
That was Jonathan Ketch joining us on the show with the latest about the stadium. Someone on the text line says it feels like we've been down to these three locations for 2 years. No, that'd be accurate. And nothing has changed. They're considering Clay County, downtown Kansas City, and 119th and all. I think that's where we are. We're all just simply waiting for the Chiefs and the Royals to both make a decision about what they want to do. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Let's talk about Missouri, Rob, for just a bit. Missouri is playing their first road game of the season. Yes, we are in the middle of October, and the Missouri Tigers have not played a single road game yet. They go on the road tomorrow against Auburn. This feels like a little bit of a coin flip game. I mean, I think Missouri is better than Auburn, but I do think there is just some uncertainty of what does that look like when you go on the road, especially when you haven't so far. I will say this for Missouri. I understand that you are allowed mulligans in this entire thing. You lost your first game at home to Alabama. Now fast forward, I mean, you got back-to-back weeks against Auburn and Vanderbilt. You need to win both of these games if you're trying to be a playoff team. Missouri can be a good team. They can win 8-9 games this year and have a good season. If they're trying to be a playoff team, you got to figure out a way to win these two games, especially when you still got a road game against Oklahoma and a home game against Texas A&M. I would say that Missouri still plays two teams that are, I know that to Oklahoma just lost. I think if their quarterback's healthy, I don't think they lose that game. Missouri still plays two teams on their schedule that I think are better than them. I don't think that Auburn or Vanderbilt is a better team than Missouri.
We talked about it last week when we were looking at the Bama game, and Gabe said it perfectly when he was on the show last week. He said if you beat Bama, you basically can go 4-2 or 3-2, whatever the math is, the rest of the way, and you're in the playoff. You lose to Bama, and you need to be near perfect. You can maybe take one more mulligan in one of those games you mentioned where the opponent is just better. I know Auburn has looked better of late, and I know it's a road game, but you really can't afford to drop games that you're supposed to win. I know they might actually flip back to the favorite now, but you're supposed to win this game on the road at Auburn. If you drop this one, I think the playoff hopes are dead because you still have Vanderbilt, who's good. You still have Oklahoma, who's good. You have A&M, who's really good. And then Arkansas looks a little feisty to end the season. You cannot lose to Arkansas. You cannot lose to Auburn. You cannot lose one of those teams you are projected to beat. The margin of error for the Tigers to be a playoff team is very thin right now because of the Alabama loss. Then you go down to Auburn and take care of business. And I don't think Auburn's very good. Hugh Freeze, I think
Auburn is a very mediocre, average SEC team.
That quarterback I watched against Georgia stinks. Jackson Arnold got ran out of Oklahoma. I don't know if he is good enough to beat Missouri.
Yeah, but we say that, though, and I think we need to be careful, at least, of Auburn in this one. Auburn's three losses are on the road against Oklahoma, on the road against A&M, home against Georgia. It ain't like we done seen Auburn.
To be fair, who are their wins?
Bad teams.
A lot of bad teams.
But I'm saying is now you are playing a team in Missouri who has yet to go on the road. And at least when it comes to Vegas, they got this as a 1.5-point spread. Vegas thinks this is a coin flip kind of game. I'm just arguing that maybe Auburn is actually a decent team this year. They just didn't win the schedule draw. If you got three straight games on the road against Oklahoma, on the road against A&M and Georgia, that is as tough of a three-game stretch as any team in the country. A lot of teams would have lost all three of those games. A whole lot of teams. Now, you got a home game against Missouri. You and I agree. Missouri's not Georgia. Missouri's not A&M. Is this a game that Auburn can potentially grab at home? And I would say that I don't know if Eli Drinkwitz has a bunch of wins like this one, even for a team that we think is 3-3 and 0-3 on the road. I don't know if they got a bunch of wins like this, not on the road against a program like Auburn.
I'm going to ask you something. This can come off like hate. I don't mean that way. You said maybe Auburn's a good team that took bad luck in the schedule game. Are we sure Missouri's not the same as Auburn? They just got good luck in the schedule game? Like, that's why this game.
That's why I think we'll find out the answer tomorrow at 6:30 on SEC Network. You know what I mean? I think we'll see.
It's a really good point. I think Missouri is better than Auburn, but Missouri hasn't played outside of Faurot Field and outside of Bama, their schedule, and I'm saying this as a Kansas fan who's on the schedule, has been pretty advantageous. Now it pivots. I think you should go beat Auburn, but it's at 9:00 on Saturday, we'll know if it's schedule game or actually Missouri is a playoff type of team.
100% with you. There are a decent handful of teams that could have Missouri's same record if they had been given that schedule. Missouri has a home win against Kansas, which is a good win. Kansas is not a bad team, but Kansas is a 7-win football team. So is South Carolina. 2 7-win football teams at home. A lot of teams, I think, could have taken care of business in those spots. The hardest thing about college football is now going on the road and leaving with wins. They got a night game on the road in the SEC. I don't care who you're playing. It ain't a cakewalk. Can you take care of business tomorrow in that matchup? Are you taking the Chiefs to cover? I know we're both taking them to win. Are you taking them to cover?
Yes, I'll take them to cover. I think it's close. I think you're sweating it late. It's like 35, 24, 21 type energy. But yes, I think they cover.
We'll catch you guys on Monday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.